the Eclipse 500 type certificate comes under congressional scrutiny. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. What seemed like a rush by former FAA Administrator Marion Blakey to issue a type certificate for the Eclipse 500 Very Light Jet by the end of September 2006 was recently the subject of a review at the FAA. Inspectors who worked on the application said they brought concerns about the plane to their superiors, who turned a blind eye or retaliated with reprimands. So those inspectors, who are represented by NATCA, took their concerns to both Congress and the Department of Transportation's Inspector General. That resulted in an audit by the IG's office, and yesterday the IG brought the resulting report to Congress. You can read lots of detail on who said what in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. But here on the special feature, I wanted to actually put you in the room, at least in your imagination, so you could get a feel for the tone of the proceedings. It was clear that the FAA, and not Eclipse Aviation, was in the hot seat. Today you'll hear the opening statements of several lawmakers and come to understand that the FAA has both its supporters and critics in the House. Tomorrow you'll hear Inspector General Calvin Scovell himself deliver his report. Aviation Subcommittee Chairman Jerry Costello of Illinois got things started just after 10 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday.
The subcommittee will come to order. I welcome everyone to our subcommittee hearing on FAA aircraft certification, alleged regulatory lapses in the certification and manufacture of the Eclipse EA-500. For the past few years, I have asked the question, does the FAA have adequate resources to accomplish its mission, and in turn, are they relying too heavily on its safety record in order to demonstrate its ability to keep a safe system? Over these past 2 years, our hearings in the Aviation Subcommittee and the full committee have demonstrated an agency that is short on resources, low in morale, and has major problems overseeing its critical safety programs. Today, the Department of Transportation Inspector General reports that he will detail alarming problems within the FAA. I'm extremely disappointed that the FAA, again, lacks the ability to oversee its programs, in this case, its certification programs. Unfortunately, this hearing will show an agency that is as interested in promoting aviation and befriending manufacturers as it is in carrying out its number one responsibility of protecting safety and the flying public. It's inexcusable and unacceptable to ignore rules, regulations, and standard practices to accommodate those you have a responsibility to regulate, especially when you have people's lives in your hands. The subcommittee and the Congress and the American people entrust the FAA to uphold the highest level of safety. Unfortunately, the FAA's conduct regarding the certification of the EA-500 makes one lose confidence in the agency. The aircraft certification and production process is complicated, requiring very technical expertise and understanding. When trying to do so on an emerging new class of very light jets, like the Eclipse EA-500, one would expect the FAA to provide an appropriate amount of time and resources to make sure we get it right. However, questions have been raised by the IG and by current and former FAA employees that corners were cut during the certification and manufacturing process, deficiencies were overlooked, and this new type of aircraft was pushed through the process in order to meet internal agency goals. As a result, the hearing today focuses on two central questions. One, did the FAA follow its regulations when certifying the Eclipse EA-500 and in the production of this aircraft? And two, was safety compromised? The IG, Calvin Scovell, will provide testimony which details very serious issues with the FAA certification and manufacturing of the Eclipse EA-500. One of the most disturbing findings to me in the IG's report is that instead of mandating that problems be resolved, the FAA accepted IOUs from Eclipse to resolve the problems at a later date. In this case, an IOU was allowed on the avionics system that ran the plane. I question the practice of using IOUs in any instance. However, to use an IOU on the avionics system that is used to run the EA-500 which I understand has no standby instruments or backup systems, from a new manufacturer who has no prior experience and on a system so critical to the aircraft is puzzling. Worse, according to the FAA's own testimony on page 10 and 11, Eclipse delivered 11 of their EA-500 aircraft to customers prior to the completion of the IOU on this critical avionics system. With that, I want to welcome all of our witnesses here today, and I look forward to hearing their testimony. Before I recognize the ranking member, Mr. Petri, for his opening statement, I ask unanimous consent to allow 2 weeks for all members to revise and extend their remarks and to permit submission of additional statements and materials by members and witnesses. Without objection, so ordered, the chair at this time recognizes the distinguished ranking member, Mr. Petri, for his remarks or opening statement.
This is Congressman Tom Petri of Wisconsin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for calling this important hearing on the certification of the Eclipse 500 very light jet. And I may just comment on the question of safety. While expressing concern, always trying to do better, we should note that this is the era of maximum safety and commercial and general aviation in the history of the world, really, and certainly in the history of the United States. So it's a time to celebrate as well as to try to do better. And I think we should put this whole subject in that context. If we were confronted with catastrophes of resulting from poor design and planes collapsing and people falling from the sky, that would be one thing. But the truth is what we have been doing has been effective, and American aviation is reasserting its leadership role in the world on many fronts. Perhaps because the Eclipse 500 is the first general aviation innovation to be manufactured in the United States in a long time, and other planes like it, very light jets have generated a lot of excitement in the aviation industry. They offer accessibility into the jet class for some, should make economically feasible new air taxi services to connect tertiary airports, making good use of excess airport capacity and further expanding the connectivity of our national aviation system. The Eclipse 500 is one model of a very light jet, and it boasts a more fuel-efficient design with the first integrated avionics system for this type of small jet aircraft. Because of these innovations, Eclipse garnered the attention of the media, industry, FAA, and now of us here in Congress. As we all know, aircraft certification is a very complex and difficult process where deadlines and pressures are facts of life, much like the deadlines and pressures members of Congress deal with when working on a reauthorization or appropriation bill. Because of very light jets are a new innovation, and Eclipse in particular incorporates cutting-edge technology, focus today should be on the FAA's certification methods and procedures. Must ensure that the federal aviation regulations are keeping up with innovations in the industry. Innovation is at the heart of aviation. As the Wright brothers well understood, acceptable risk is a central part of discovery and development. So we strive to make aircraft more fuel-efficient, cost-efficient, and more technologically advanced. We must also maintain our historic safety record. But likewise, we must be careful not to erect unnecessary barriers to innovation. Minimum safety standards and alternative means of compliance provided for in federal aviation regulations allow for innovative aircraft designs to be certified. The minimum safety standards provide the benchmarks for manufacturers to design around, and alternative means of compliance allow the FAA and manufacturers to address an ever-evolving technological and manufacturing environment. FAA's certification policies, widely recognized as the gold standard for safety worldwide, provide for appropriate safety oversight where written regulations cannot keep up with technological innovation. Today, the Department of Transportation Inspector General will testify about irregularities in the certification of the Eclipse plane. Inspector General will also testify that he's not drawing any conclusion about the safety of the Eclipse aircraft. Well, it's important that this committee hear about certification irregularities and FAA's lessons learned analysis of the Eclipse certification process We must be careful not to jump to any conclusions that these irregularities exist outside of this certification project. There's no evidence to suggest an industry-wide certification issue. In fact, the historic safety record stands to refute such a claim. The certification process in place today has contributed to the safest period in the history of manned flight. Safety record the system is enjoying today is a result of the hard work of many government and industry partners, and we must build on that success as we go forward. While the FAA must remain focused on its role as a regulator, we have to be careful not to turn the agency into a hammer looking for a nail. Much has been gained from the industry's willingness to share mistakes with the government regulator, and that professional give and take must continue to exist to ensure our very safe system stays that way. While it's possible that some of the federal aviation regulations for aircraft certification may need to be reviewed and perhaps altered to accommodate new kinds of aircraft technology, it's important to remember that the foundation of that certification, based on collaboration, coordination, and information sharing, has proved successful and should not be changed or stifled. With that, I yield back.
We'll be back with more on the FAA's certification process from the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Today, we're taking you into yesterday's House Aviation Subcommittee hearing on charges the FAA did not properly oversee the type certification process for the Eclipse 500 Very Light Jet. Congressman James Oberstar of Minnesota is chairman of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, of which aviation is a subcommittee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, and I want to thank our vigilant staff for doing superb work over many months on the issues that we'll hear about today. Your constancy and the oversight of safety and aviation is exemplary, and I'm delighted that you're taking up the challenge. Safety in aviation is always only one fatal accident away from unsafe. Vigilance and redundancy in every phase of aviation are vital to the essential element of safety. The issue here is not innovation versus safety, but the process by which we achieve safety, by which FAA carries out its responsibility, by which it establishes and sustains what I called years ago, the gold standard in aviation safety worldwide. But as Chaucer wrote, if gold rust, then what of iron? We're going to hear today how the FAA's customer service initiative mistakenly treats those who are the subject of regulation as the customer of FAA. FAA has, if there is a customer, as I said in the previous hearing, it's the flying public. It's not the airlines. And in this case, it's not the manufacturer. I'm very concerned. We have another example here that complacency has crept into the highest doubles of FAA management, a pendulum swing away from rigorous enforcement of safety, rigorous enforcement of compliance, to and now a manufacturer. Previously we had an airline favorable, cozy relationship. There are significant risks posed by new aircraft and new technology. The 777, which is designed entirely by computer and whose first article was put in place without doing a prototype, but with all the computer technology being right on, and the FAA was very concerned that this would could result in some slippage, was on the scene day after day, watching over Boeing's technology. When that first side of the hull was swung in place, it came within a millimeter of exactitude. That's the kind of vigilance that we expect of FAA and of the manufacturer, of Airbus, of Boeing, of Cessna, of all the others. And in this case, the EA-500 with advanced avionics, turbine engine technology, characteristics more akin to large transport aircraft, it was incumbent upon FAA to establish a very high level of vigilance. And yet, they had the audacity to put in their performance plan that the Eclipse would be certified by September 30, 2006. It's not up to the FAA shouldn't be setting a date by which it will complete a certification. The date by which you complete a certification is when it is ready, when it meets the standards, when FAA can say yes or no, not when the manufacturer wants it, and not when some higher up in the agency says it should be done. I reviewed the documents and I looked at the type certificate signing exactly on September 30, 2006, a Saturday. The end of fiscal year 06, coincidentally. How could FAA possibly know that the aircraft, the first article, would be ready for certification at that point? I've never heard of the agency assigning itself a date by which an aircraft is to be ready for certification. The burden of when an aircraft is ready to be certified falls upon the manufacturer, not upon the professionals. The FAA. They have to meet the standards set by the FAA, not the other way around. FAA should respond in timely fashion. They should not set up impossible paper trails. They should not set up red tape obstacles. But they should not sign off until the aircraft is ready, not until a date is met. Now, as I further looked at the documentation, I saw the FAA Rotorcraft Certification Directorate in Fort Worth, Texas, which had the primary responsibility for certifying the EA-500, was, in my judgment, very diligent in adhering to established regulations for certification. And they, at least on the face of it, seemed to have performed very well. But their decisions and their recommendations were routinely overruled by higher-up FAA management under the customer service rubric. Let's not just take the attitude, well, no, we haven't had a fatal accident. That's what in the past was characterized as graveyard mentality. FAA is above that. It has to remain above that, and the purpose of this hearing is to see that they do in the future.
The chair thanks you, Chairman Overstar. Mr. Hayes has indicated that he would like to comment, and so at this time I'll recognize my friend from North Carolina.
Congressman Robin Hayes of North Carolina is also a pilot.
I thank the chairman, and I appreciate what he's trying to do. Passion runs high on this subject. I'm sitting down here listening. I'm getting ready to hit the eject button. Because my take on this is almost 180 degrees out of phase with my chairman and my full chairman. And they are great people, and I respect them tremendously. A couple things. I'm not a lawyer, but I heard a lawyer one time say we're going to stipulate that safety is our primary concern. So let's write that on the wall and not refer back to it, because everybody here is concerned about safety, no question. The government, the Transportation Committee, and the FAA has a function. It's to create an environment in which our citizens, our industry, our economy can function under the safety banner at its highest possible level. Folks, the future of the aerospace industry is to some degree, a great degree, at risk and in play here. Staff has been vigilant, I agree, but the conclusions, and I don't know who they are, that staff has reached are simply wrong. The FAA is not perfect any more than this committee, but they were diligent throughout this process. I'm not here representing Eclipse. I'm trying to represent American aerospace industry. We're in competition with the whole world for innovation. Been flying for 40 years. Everything's different now. When I walk out the door every morning, should I have a raincoat, a top coat, a short sleeve shirt? We're talking, at the risk of oversimplification, in the same thing here. Mr. Scoville is going to bring us a report, and he's a very thorough, good guy. But the issue is, how do we keep the American aerospace industry and our economy moving forward with the new technology, which, by the way, is crucial for American jobs in America, fuel efficiency, energy, and everything else? How do we translate that into the traditional role of the FAA, putting the safest product on the market? I say to you, this committee can do a tremendous amount of damage with our European counterparts by coming out here and saying the FAA is not doing their job. The folks who are in Fort Worth, they were doing their job. I'm not questioning them, but when I got and Leonard's with me, you remember our conversation on the 430, Leonard? Well, I got a G1000 now. I had to get somebody to come in and help me because I didn't understand all the new innovations of the technology that was available. Well, what does the technology do? It makes us safer. It gives us situational awareness, does all kinds of things, but it does not take away the need to fly the airplane, and the basics were there. This is a good, solid airplane that can fly and can help America and move us in the right direction. So to say that it's not safe, I think, is incorrect. I've looked at it very closely. There are three systems, we talked a little bit about this, that back up everything. They're all electronic. That's okay. Mechanical is not needed. 1, 2, 3. There's never been a failure. 32,000 hours now in service without a problem. 5,000 hours of flight testing, 32,000 hours in service. Folks, we need to really be careful what we're doing here. 2001, the process started. 2006, we certified. That is not rushing. How do we get our job done and stay safe? Please, everybody, take a deep breath, realize what's at stake here, and don't go down the wrong path of saying the FAA did it wrong. They didn't do it wrong. Did they do it perfect? No. We're not going to handle this hearing perfectly, but please focus on the fact aerospace is important. We got a great system. I think it worked. I think there are issues that we can deal with. 13 deficiencies out of how many thousand? You can cover that, Mr. Scoville. But again, Mr. Chairman, thank you for indulging me. Spend hours on this. I see it every day when I crank up. Thank you. Let's get her done.
Well, I thank the gentleman for his comments, and
gentleman, yield.
I will be happy to yield.
Chairman, yield.
Chairman Overstar.
I respect the gentleman from North Carolina. He's a longtime aviator. His heart in the right place. But he wouldn't be flying safely if FAA had not done its vigilance in years past. And our purpose here is to find out what they slipped up on. Where did they come up short, and be sure that they fix it for the future. That's the purpose of this hearing. If you listen to the facts and read the record, you'll see that there were shortcomings that are system shortcomings that we have to assure that FAA fixes for the future. That's the purpose of this hearing. It's not to condemn any aircraft, any manufacturer. It is to find out how FAA has come up short and how we can fix them for the future.
Well, gentlemen, I agree with you. My real concern was the way the issue was framed initially. The FAA's not wrong. The folks in Fort Worth weren't wrong. Eclipse weren't wrong. But we can do it better, and you're absolutely right. It's what we're here for.
I appreciate the gentleman's comments. I don't agree with you that the FAA was not wrong. I think that they were wrong, and I think that some testimony here will document that, but that's the reason we're here, is to find that out.
As you've heard, this hearing had more to do with the FAA's process than anything involving Eclipse Aviation. You can find detail on what many of the witnesses had to say later in this five-hour hearing in the accompanying story at aero-news.net. Tomorrow, we'll hear Calvin Scovel, the Inspector General of the Department of Transportation, read and discuss his report in part two of our expanded coverage of this hearing. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. You'll find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.